I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm J&A.
Of J&A and the Day, home team of real estate teams. The Monday after Thanksgiving. Jay, are you loosening your belt buckle a couple of notches this morning?
You know, everybody does a little bit. You can never have enough turkey.
This is the time of the year when, yeah, you're allowed to loosen your belt buckle a little bit. And get ready for Christmas.
Yeah. We haven't even been able to get anything started. I don't know about you, but it's been so busy, we haven't had a chance to even focus on that. And in our house, we typically wait until after Thanksgiving anyway.
I'm going to make an announcement here on our podcast because I would not want to make this on the air because I might offend some people in my life. But without a doubt, pound for pound, hands down, the best Christmas cookies I have ever had are Angie Day, Jay's mother, packed in those beautiful tins. Chocolate chip cookies with pecans and chocolate chips. Experts say this is really hard to get it to this consistency. These are perfect chocolate chip cookies.
She's a pro, man. She's been doing it for years, and I'm sure we'll be bringing some more in shortly. She hasn't hit the baking side yet. But
that's coming up. That's coming up right around the corner. So West Virginia, you're now serving West Virginia. Are you getting any activity from Wild Wonderful?
Yes, we are. We're getting a lot of activity from your listeners. Like I said before, that's what sort of motivated us to get out there and to do it. And I've personally been on a couple of appointments already myself. And the ladies in the office, two of our other agents, have actually just gotten licensed as well. So now we're ready to rock and roll completely.
And to take the real estate license test for West Virginia, from what I have heard, is more complicated and hard than the other states in the four-state area.
Yeah, the test is fine, but the process that you have to go through with West Virginia is a little bit more cumbersome than it is. You know, like as we talked, we do Maryland, we do Pennsylvania, we do Virginia, and West Virginia. It was definitely more intensive paperwork-wise than any of the other states that we're currently serving.
I wanted to ask you some questions, Jay. I may have asked you sometime during our 50-plus podcast history. Now, we've been doing this for over a year. But this may come up in my personal life in the near future or even a year from now, but it's a big deal. If you're going to be selling property, you're going to be selling some property, you're going to be selling a house, but one of your neighbors has at some point built a fence 6 inches on your property, when is the time to take care of that? When the home is sold and people are looking at deeds and looking at land, what is the time to take care of that?
Well, I would say if you have that happening right now and your home isn't even on the market, you want to have some type of an agreement in writing, or you want to address it right away. I mean, actually, right now, we're in the process. We have a fence going up. It started last week at our house, and we paid. We had the pins located so that we make sure we stay within our side of our neighbors and we're not encroaching on their land. Because there are some laws that if it's open and obvious and you've been on someone's property for a certain period of time, you could end up losing some of your property. So, but you know, this is something that happens though. You go in, you go under contract, the seller has no clue, the buyer has no clue, you order a survey, and the survey shows up, and there's a corner of a shed that's on your property.
Exactly. This is exactly that, and a privacy fence could come up here in the future sometime.
Yeah. Well, I had one recently in Damascus where we were representing the buyers, and their fence, the house that they were buying, the fence encroached on the neighbor's property. So what had to happen there, the buyer did not want to move forward with having an issue. The other owner was fine with the fence being there. However, my buyer said, I don't want to have any issues here. So the seller actually had to cut down and remove the fence.
Ooh, that's tough.
Now, they didn't have to replace it, but they just had to remove it. And then the buyer said, you know, that's fine. It's no big deal. I don't like that fence anyway. I'm going to put in something that's more maintenance free. But I don't want to have to deal with the ripping down of the fence. We're going to make the seller take care of that. Or sometimes people can accept it the way that it is. You can still get title insurance with a waiver or a variance. And, you know, actually when we have Todd from Excalibur come in, he can give us some of the different things that happen from the title side. But this is a normal, regular occurrence, unfortunately. It's typically like a corner of a shed. Rarely do we have the issue with the fence. It's been more of a shed thing. And we had one actually recently in Thurmont where a lot of people don't understand there's building restriction lines. You might own the whole lot, but you can only build within a certain envelope of the lot.
There's got to be like a little bit of a margin between the structure and your property line.
Yes, yes. And we had one that we sold. It was a WFRE listener, and his house was built over the property, you know, over that building envelope. So we actually, and the buyer was freaking out. We represented the seller, but we actually worked with the county. We got a waiver from the county that there was never going to be, nothing was ever going to be done because the home was built over the property building envelope, and that they would allow that. And basically they could never come after any of the owners for that. But, you know, it's a lot of research that goes into it. And Christina took care of that for our client so that it wasn't a problem. Or the deal could have blown up. Or the agent on the other side didn't understand and was like, we can't buy this house. Tried to, you know, scare the buyer. And we're like, no, slow down. The county, we can get an approval from the county. We'll get it in writing. Everything will be perfectly fine. Don't stress out. This is what we do.
We're not going to have an enemy living next door to you right off the bat.
Right. Well,
neighbor can be a nightmare situation for something like this.
When you get into the fence stuff, it can get a little shaky. And, you know, and sometimes it's funny because over the years, I've always had a fence. And, you know, like with this house, we actually approached our neighbors and told them, hey, we're putting a fence up. Just want to let you know. In the past, we actually went in with another neighbor back when we were in Carroll County, and we split the cost of the shared area, the fence.
I've seen this happen before.
And then that goes on the line. Everybody's okay with it. You get something in writing that you agree, and everybody's perfectly fine. But not everybody has the money or wants to deal with that.
I understand. And you want it consistent. You don't want one neighbor with one kind of fence and then have an open area or another kind of fence there.
Right, right. And, you know, like I said, the difference is a lot of people, when they go to buy a house, they pick the less expensive survey. And the less expensive survey does not have pins. It's an estimate of this is roughly where your land is. If you want to really know, we always tell everyone, if you're looking to add a garage, if you're looking to add sheds, if you're looking to have a fence put on, you want to actually get a true location survey. And it's going to cost you a lot more money. But there's no question of here's where the pins are. This is my property. And it won't come up as a problem later.
Are you talking about going to a county organization and getting a deed? Is that what the deed is?
No. The survey is something totally different. And when you choose your title company, the title company will ask you which type of survey you want. And most people, the first thing they ask is, well, how much are, what's the price difference between the two?
Is this to find out where your property lines are?
Yes.
And that costs you money? I mean, that's your property. Why would somebody charge you for that?
Yeah, it's because they need to come out and sometimes there's pins there, sometimes there's not. We've got a buyer right now under contract on a property that it's so old and it's been in the family and generations for so many years that they couldn't even figure out where anything was. So the seller had to pay to have the property surveyed because it had been in the family for, you know, 100 plus years.
I thought that this had all been done. I thought this was all a matter of public record to find out exactly where your property ends, begins, exactly where it is.
Not always, no. And they can give you, you know, it's in there called meets and bounds, and it'll say, you know, you turn 70 degrees and walk 5 steps from this. That's in there, but it's not a science until you actually have it staked and pinned.
Wow. So, look, I'm so confused. That's why if you have any questions about buying or selling, call Jay. Ask these questions. There's no obligation. They don't want your headache, too. They'll make sure it all goes smooth before you take the next step.
Yeah, that's the goal. And, I mean, you know, sometimes these are things where we have to navigate through these complex situations because some of the examples that we were just talking about are real-life situations of people we've worked with where the house in Thurmont. On the other side, we had an agent that had no idea and was ready to blow the deal up because they didn't understand the process. So we held it together. We had one recently with the buyer, again, where we had the situation where they couldn't tell where the boundaries really were. We were able to get the seller to take care of paying for that so that the buyer could move forward. Or we had the one in Damascus where we find out, you know, a week before closing that the fence isn't on their property. And we were able to keep that deal together. It's all of the transactions that we do. And it's funny because when we advertise and we, you know, you talk about us, you say how many homes we sell, it's not about bragging about how many, but that experience that brings to the table, it's not about quantity. It's about every transaction is different. And the amount of things that you can learn through closing and selling so many homes is the experience that you're not going to gain from anyone else. And that's where you need that expertise to help navigate you through the real estate transaction because it's much more complicated than putting a sign in the yard and having somebody come and buy the house. There's so many hurdles to go through in the process that you need a true professional. And, you know, you want someone that has experience.
If you have property and there's been a fence or there's been a shed built on your property, and it's been 20 or 25 years and it hadn't come up, kind of a statute of limitation could wear out on that and you could lose that part of your property?
There are some weird things, and like I said, I'm going to write down, and we're going to have Todd give some more details on that, because with him being on the title side, he'll be able to give some real-life situations of what's happened. But yeah, there are some odd situations of where you could lose some of your property by that is open and obvious, and you allowed it to happen,
I understand.
You didn't have an agreement. So Okay. The people just automatically thought that was their property, and then they can fight it in the court system to try and take it over.
Well, hopefully this helps some people out. Light bulb went off over their heads. We need to check this out to avoid problems in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And if you have any questions at all, or you have the situation, you're thinking about selling, you know, or buying, just give us a ring. We'll be happy to answer any questions you have. That's what we're here for. We love working with our listeners at WFRE, and plan on continuing to service them for many, many years.
Now serving you in West Virginia, home of the week.
Home of the week. 11825 Warner Road in Keymar. Listed at 335. It's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath home. This house is great. It's about 1,700 square feet. It was built in 94, and it's a wonderful house. If you want to see more information, go directly to WFRE.com, go to Real Estate Podcast, and check out the house of the week. Like I said, 11825 Warner Road, 4-bed, 2.5-bath on just under an acre, and only $335.
And all this week, check out our sister station, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Christmas Cash for Kids going on all week, a great fundraiser. Jane and his team are involved with that.
Yeah, if anyone who has the ability, you know, this year, and again, this is, we've been doing this for a few years. There's so many families in need that aren't able to celebrate Christmas. You know, I always think about when I was a kid, one of the most exciting things, running down the stairs and seeing that there was something there. And this Christmas Cash for Kids allows us to provide a situation where these kids are able to have something that they would have never had, whether it's bikes, you know, what are some of the other stuff, Tom, that we've had? You know,
Everything for boys and girls of all ages.
Yeah.
It's a local charity. We know where the money goes. There's no overhead. Cash for Kids on WFMD. I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm Jay Day.
With our weekly real estate podcast, thanks for listening. Tell your friends.